And then when you desire to create, it is always what? Thought. Idea. You have to have idea. And this is why Walter's work is suppressed. Now, I'll probably get her in trouble for this, too. But it's okay. I won't use the same words. And then it'll work out. You are the manifested thought of God. That's all you are. But by being that, you are of necessity in linear motion or linear thought, a fragment or a piece of God. You can't separate the two. They don't work separate. That's called death. So, you are the thought made manifest of Creator. He had a thought, a desire, a wish, and He created, and you became. Anything, and we've been talking about this for a couple of days, that you can conceive, that old saying of conceive it, achieve it, it's true. In either a negative or a positive influence, it's true. And here's where the dreaming is confirmed. I believe this can be done. Well, a Walter Russell would look at that equation and say, I know this can be done. But Walter never practiced in hard, let's call it hard copy, like Nikola Tesla did. And therefore, Nikola and Russell could be very good friends because Russell could conceive and he knew, but Tesla could take it a step further and develop it. And this is what nobody could understand about Tesla, was that he not only could develop it, he developed it in reality in another dimension, and he couldn't understand why in the hell nobody could see it. Don't you see? Those bearings over there are wearing. This is not mechanically sound. Take him to the institution. There's nothing here. But if you left him alone, he would repair that. And it would no longer wear. So here was recognized the danger of these minds that knew and had the desire for creative development. They knew it was available. They knew they had everything they needed. So all they had to do was just do it. Just do it. But in the human environment, you've got to tinker. I'm not saying that lightly. You've got to tinker because you have to develop the mechanical object from the idea that came as a creative desire. Bob James is an excellent, excellent example of that. Why doesn't somebody else go and build motors without drive shafts and wobbly legs and wobbly rotating wheels and things? Why wouldn't work? Who are you kidding? That sort of nonsense would never work. Oh, why wouldn't it? Well, so-and-so said, and I believe him. And after all, I am a scientist. And he's built this ridiculous-looking thing. It just happens to get more power out per erg than anybody else has got. But it can't work. So don't you see? Creative desire is that which builds the universe and builds things and builds... It is all there is. That is the first requirement. Creative desire to do something, to build something. and you get that working. You okay, out here I want, my desire is to accomplish this motor, this method, this treatment. And I mean, I know that it can be done, and I really have the desire to do it. Now you, God, tell me how. And it may take many restless nights. You may have to get up in the middle of the night while you jot down some silly nonsense. And if you have asked with that desire, in your intent, you will get the answer. I can go right back to silly contracts that seem so outrageous that they cannot be. Who said? We have a need, and we have the desire, and we can create, and we did, and we have. And now you've got the tool. All you've got to do is use it. That's Russell's theory in absolute living reality. All, everything. God creates worlds, peoples, things. You don't have to agree with him. But when you reach that point of being with him, you might want to tinker with it too. You have to create everything that you want. And if you want it to be good and big and prosperous and all of those wonderful things, you're going to have to create it properly, aren't you? So that it is both reasonable, usable. Because most of you don't want to create something just to go to prison.
So doesn't that mean we're kind of tinkering with God now?
You're always tinkering with God. Because he's always manipulating you. Come on.
Just thought I'd ask.
But I will have to get down beyond that snide answer and ask, in what realm, what arena are we tinkering?
I read that incidentally from a book I bought in Virginia.
Just to clear up any
just
plagiarism.
Just don't quote it again, please.
Commander?
Yes.
Just quoting from one of those particular masters where he told me to meditate on the self. Love the self, respect yourself, bow down to your own self. So evidently this is where we find this inner divinity, which is all that we are, all that you are. One of the techniques, of course, we would do several different things. We would sit with automatic Bostrika, the bellows breath, and literally almost levitate ourselves up into the air, etc. But the real essence was your breath. I would notice and was taught would go a distance of 12, width of 12 fingers out of the body and would stop. And while it's turning around before it comes back in the body, to notice that stop and that stillness. Then it comes back into the body a width of 12 fingers down to roughly the level of the heart. And it would stop. Now, through automatic Bostrika, we could gain the power to stop that breath for quite some long periods of time, which, of course, science would say impossible, you'll die. But in that stillness is where whatever God is, we found that indescribable. Maybe such joy and peace and bliss and the stillness that we would sit there in that inner self. And as an example, I was running like crazy today. Well, I should go up and be with my mom, who's here in 3-4 hours north of here in LA, leaving tomorrow, and make sure my family knows I care about them and love them enough to drive all the way up to get up there and just to hug Mom so she can leave on the plane tomorrow. And I started, why am I running? And I had to I literally stop almost to Bakersfield and and then I can always rely on the next thought, which is, go to God first. So for me, this form of God and this truth is right here, right now, where I am right now, with this teaching. So I came back, and I'm very balanced now and stable again that I made the right decision. But I found that I think for most people, it's very necessary that you do stop. Stop thinking. Maybe even be fortunate enough to notice the moments where you stop breathing and merge in God. Maybe you can comment on if that's where God is found.
I not only would like to comment, I can even give you some little bit humorous examples and things that seem lost on any moment in time. What you are saying, what your master is saying, is exactly what is being said in, quote, the Walter Russell material, or the understanding of duality, the principle of flow. You have what will go out will always come back, the push of a breath out, the pull or the suction that brings breath back, but not the same breath, because as it goes out, it merges with everything else and connects with everything else in the entire universe. The assumption that it goes out here and stops is an incorrect physical assumption. It's an ideal assumption, because in that is the changeover, or that moment of void or stillness. Russell, forgive me for repeating even a word, calls it voidance. Others in Pleiades described it as null time, void time, but null time. And that can be anything from a split atom second to eons. You will always have in every created universe a progression of levels. And you can recognize these levels by 12 stages, and I'm speaking generally. There is infinite staging or steps, but you can label them. And you can have step 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, and maybe 2 is very primitive. And you will find that no matter how technically advanced you may be, humankind on planet Earth, Shan, is in primitive level. You've hardly begun your growth, because you look at your world. It is so filled with negative aspect and negative behavior that you are very far from God, and that is evil by its definition. You are moving farther and farther away from God rather than toward God, and yet the ones that are moving toward God are moving ever more rapidly and are ever more holy. And you can go right to Revelation and you can find that description. Well, not that description, but you will find that the bad will be worse, the good will be better. Now, is it simply because one is able to have a perspective between these relationships? It doesn't matter. And the facts are that it truly doesn't matter. You are trying to analyze your universe as you see it. And it can only be analyzed right around you in your own experience, but it can be visualized or recognized as a greater creation outside yourself. Everything being an illusion or a projected thought of God will move out, it will move back. Or it will move down and it will move up. It doesn't go anywhere, you see. So how can you judge that particular null time? It is when it changes. If with electricity, or magnetism, how can you know? At what point out there between the prongs of a magnet, one positive and one negative, does it change? What is it in a light circuit that determines as it moves around when it becomes its opposite? Because it does. It really does. And these are the things that are analyzed and analyzed and analyzed. And so when you talk about that stillness, you're so preoccupied with getting it out there and getting it back, and I'm really generalizing, that you miss the changeover. You miss the very point where creation is inspired. I breathed out, I got to get it back. Why? Why do you want it back so bad? You breathed it out because it's full of contaminants now. And if you only have your breath to breathe, you will die. It's poison. It has to go out there, and it has to intermingle, and it has to have its other elements for you to thrive. So these are fascinating subjects. You have got to learn to allow, and then to recognize, and then to hold. You see, what you're not doing, you're not demanding that I have this answer. There are many ways of demanding an answer. One is full intent, creative desire. God, I need an answer for this. I expect an answer. I know that I am capable in my own mind of having the answer, but I don't know the trigger key to push. And I only want this answer if it be thy will for a betterment of a higher cause. Now you see, you can just want it for yourself, and that'll work too. But it will rarely ever bring what you thought you wanted. This is the fundamental explanation of the universe. Created manifestation, reorganization. Out, back in. And you have now come to the point in your own evolvement as a species on the planet where everything reverses. Everything that you have within must come without. And this is why in this entirely evil construct of government that you can laugh about even the law of the bureaucracy that says if they tell you they are going to do this, what they will do is accomplish the very opposite of what they say. And you see, it's not a theory anymore, it's a law. It's been tested so many times. And yet humankind just bites on it and feeds on it and believes it. All the while knowing is nuts. So you can only ask for wisdom in reference to your desire for creative thought to accomplish something out here, and it will happen. Because you will have opened your mind and the ideas will flow. That's all you have with which to deal. Mind and thought. Everything has to be a thought, an idea, and a desire before it can be created. So it depends on how badly, how much you want something. And why do you want it? Do you want it just so you can say what a big boy I am? Well, I really want to help the Indians, do you? Or would you like to have a successful operating nation out there? Which isn't necessarily good either. People go about their entire lives never knowing what it is they want. and being too embarrassed to say, I really want this. And then facing the fact that if that is an incorrect assumption of want and desire and creation, to say, hey, that's not too great. But most people walk their whole entire existence without the vaguest notion about what they want to achieve. Creative desire is all there is. It's all there is.
So how can we know what to want or what we want when in reality we can't be told what to want?
It's a shit, isn't it? That's what life is about. That, you got her. That's what life is about.
Well, I had another comment on the word compassion because I noticed this beautiful soul that came in, and I get stuck in that too, compassion, and you want to help everyone and save everyone. Well, come here. Truth is here. And then they don't have the respect and the humility to just listen. And I know I've already got 3 calls on my, maybe 4 more by now on my message machine to deal with that.
Well, you've got to practice compassion. You have to. And that's all you can do about it. Are you going to have to be so selective that you can't say, look, I go and I enjoy this and have others experience. Don't do this to yourself. Accept it. It's over. And it was interesting. And not only that, but it was a lesson. And we can have compassion. Don't belittle the entity enough to say, well, I pity such a person, because I don't. And be grateful for the gifts that are shared and the ability to see how far you have grown versus that one who wants so desperately to have and hold something. Compassion is a fine and beautiful word. You can have compassion, and it does not mean, oh, this old pious funkiness. It means you can care, and you can have a feeling of sorrow even, or sadness. Pity is harsh. That says, I know everything, and this is just a bad scene. Most of us always are in a state of needing compassion. It is a searching for a specific place for self. I am now told I am worthy, and I am creator, and I am all of these wonderful things, and yet here, nobody will listen to me. But see, this does not bring into play appropriateness. Ones have not done their homework who will do this and disrupt. You cannot, and this again is such a superb lesson. You do not walk into somebody else's space and start restructuring what they are doing. Now, if you are going into a room and you have paid for a seminar and you have paid for asking 6 questions or whatever, you have one set of circumstances. When you are basically a guest, you are here at the invitation of someone who is gracious enough to wish you to join us. You don't come in and start rewriting the religious beliefs. And I'm going to put Baba right there in religion. You see, Baba might not want to be considered a religion, but the world considers him to have a religion, a cult, a following. And basically, Baba and these other teachers have the disadvantage of having to work at very low levels of spiritual structure Because man has got to know that his spirituality is truly all there is. But how do you get him up into believing some of these very primitive ideas? And how do you keep those people from then turning around and worshiping you? How do you keep the patient from falling in love with the doctor who's just saved her life? It gets so far out of perspective that you can't even really legitimately discuss it. How can you tell us in this room that we're doing it incorrectly and that you were sent to set us straight if you don't even have the vaguest idea what we are? And when you think of these things in those kinds of terms, it's easy to have compassion. Because you can look forward into the future of this child and know it will be so painful that she probably will end up institutionalized again. Because this is not reasonable thought. And yet, what lessons? What lessons for her? What lessons for you? And can't we appreciate everyone? Can't we appreciate every opportunity to grow? Even if it's just to be kind for a moment and have a little compassion. And certainly, we do not allow ever to have this reflection on another who said, come up and listen. She didn't come up and listen. She came up to change us. That's not Dave's fault. He cannot take responsibility for that. And how are you ever going to reach out to people if you do not share the opportunity? Be grateful for every lesson. And have compassion for those who do narrow themselves down into the inability to hear. Because it is a refusal to listen. In fact, I have to hand it to Baba. If he was able to get her to listen. Maybe that's why she had to go 17 times over there. So your question about listening is answered in that statement. You have to be willing to hear. You have to be willing to shut this opening at the lower part of your face, open your ears, and hear. And then discern. And when you've learned all you can about it, you're going to find it's no longer a question. It's very appropriate. I've been put in that position before. Well, why are you talking about contracts and money and Indian nations when, if you're such a spiritual person, why are we just not on our knees praying every minute? That's not my job. You see, even in the hierarchy, we have a job. And maybe Baba's is to simply teach what he teaches. Obviously, that is his job or he would not be doing it. And that is not my business. He is trying to get his people into some state of understanding so they can make a transition into a higher state of being and recognize their godness so they don't go the other way. And he is working in a country that is so filled with people, just humanity. How do you reach them? And the more intelligent ones that come to him from abroad, somewhere, who have a little bit higher understanding because they've listened. They've listened to God speak and say, hey, there's more to it. And you can learn something from this Baba. But you have to always be ready for the next step. There will always be a beyond Ananda. There will always be a beyond the teachings of Baba. There will be spiritual reality for you beyond Hatan, but there will be none beyond Hatan.
Very good.
I think that was so brilliant, I'll quit.
Randall has a question.
Well, Randall's just a junior partner.
Ask away, Randall.
Could you say that again?
No, I don't think so.
I got it.
Well, it was just kind of a continuation on what we were talking about a minute ago, from all the way from listening to the divided thought for manifestation and creation in the process of co-creation and dreaming the dream forward. And we've kind of entered into another decade, was what we call it, and a time for, is what we hope this time around, for manifestation and to actually put our past momentums and our past actions and put those things together so that they're cohesive enough to actually manifest into the earth plane and get some of the things done we want to have done. We need to have done, and that we've desired to have done for a long time, taking the process of desire and the word demand and those kind of things. We have talked about goals and setting goals and focusing, talked about listening, and if you could look at it from a, help us to perceive from a standpoint of taking all these things together, because like when you take Tesla and Walter Russell, they sat together and one person did one thing and the other person did another. It seemed like there needed to be a third entity there to help them bring forth and manifest. And I know there was a certain processes in their lives for that manifestation. And I know we have those in movement and in action now in a lot of different ways. But a lot of people in the room are in the space, including myself sometimes, that we have our ideas and we have our process. We put some on, some in paper, some not in paper. They're the golden link or the process. If there's a person that needs to play a part in a certain episode, that person would be either notified, or we could figure out who can do what pieces to work together to be that example. Because we're talking about doing it a different way, doing business in a new manner. And just to be able to make that happen, to be able to see even on what you would call day one or day two, even from a standpoint of kindergarten, what it is that manifestation is, and doing it differently, so that we can start seeing the dream and dreaming it into manifestation by doing it and perceiving it differently, so when we come up to it, it really becomes that way.
Well, we're going to go, in answering that, right back to the beginning of desire. You see, when you are demanding of God for response and answer, you are actually doing what? You are demanding of self, mind. It's contained in mind. And you have no ability to visualize the total sequence of events. This is the fill-in time. You can see where you think you want to go, where you know you want to be, and you can ask for this input, but most of you get too impatient. You don't want to wait for it to unfold. You want it now. And therefore, you will go choose the wrong persons, the wrong partners, the wrong idea. You'll chase the paper. You'll do whatever is required instead of taking it in the total proper sequence of unfoldment. But that choice is not always yours. Because if your goals are high enough, they are going to overlap. And sometimes in that overlapping, the one with a greater distance to go has still got to get out there to enable your participation. Or you have to become that other entity. Sometimes you cannot be both. And according to whatever your life journey or mission might be, which you will see changing before your eyes, you have no way to know that contract of another, or the load that other one carries. Everybody wants to know how, on day one, do we change business? Well, that's been greatly, greatly discussed. On the other hand, if the ones having to make the plans also have to do all of that minor, and I say minor because that's one of those fundamental things, but it's minor in the day's activity. They haven't the human time to put it to paper, to structure it, to cause everybody to understand it. So here's where God says you've got to have patience, and most people do not. Patience does not mean stopping. That's the other problem. You got to have patience. I've had patience. I've been waiting since the day before yesterday. I'm sick and tired of it. Fine. Then you go do whatever you're going to do. But usually people will stop. Well, if you won't tell me, then I'm not going to help you. Fine. I won't be there on the day that you want the information either. And what is that old terrible adage? Life is what happens while you're making these other plans. So we have a few little days to share here. And myself, as well as you, use it for the fuel to keep us going, the hope to keep us realizing that we can do it. And yet nothing is different from yesterday to today, except what we now believe. Do we know it yet? Some in the room are beginning to know. Others just say, hey, we've been here before. And it's hard to rise above and walk over that doubt of the past. And it's disappointment after disappointment until you're embarrassed to say anything. I know that. And yet, if you wait until it's done, you're not prepared to move at all. You're dead in the water. And you've got to overcome all that inertia. And you've got to be structuring all the while. Hit and miss. And then some are going to write down a plan. And if it's not used, they're going to be offended and stomp off. These are the things of human. But some of you, no matter if we beg, borrow, bribe, and try to get you to go somewhere else, No. I belong here. That's called knowing. And those who have been willing to keep on plugging along as hard as you can under the worst of circumstances are going to make it big. And that's just the way it is. That's called God's reward. And I am going to really get a reward if I don't let her out of here. Do you want a meeting in the morning?
Yeah.
10 o'clock. Let's call it a day. I've really overdone my welcome. Thank you and salut.
I'd like to make a little announcement, if I could, just for a moment.
You want to?
On the record?
On the record, sure. Hello?
Hello.
My name is Ray Bilger, for anybody who hasn't met me yet. I do appreciate everything that's been said about relationships and what Little Crow has said. We do have to take them very seriously because everything is in relationship with everything else. Janet Leary and myself take our relationship very seriously, and we've made a commitment to be married next Sunday, 24th. It's going to be a very private ceremony, but at 2 o'clock next Sunday afternoon right here, we're going to have a reception with food and drinks and everything, so everyone is invited.
What's the everything?
Bring your...
yeah,
bring your
me too. What is this drink and...
No, just... Well, we were not going to have anything alcoholic, but... thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you.
See you tomorrow.
Congratulations, girls. Good luck.
It'll be fine.
Maybe I could have an announcement about...